This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very good Tuesday morning to Marlins Nation. Thanks for rewinding with us. Steven Strom here. Marlins fall to the Washington Nationals 7-2 in Game 4 of the series finale. Here's your radio voice of the Miami Marlins for the recap, Kyle Seeloff.
Well, unfortunately, the times remain rather tough for the Marlins, and tonight was no exception. It was actually very sad to see some of the long faces inside of that dugout after the Washington Nationals just swept the Marlins in a four-game weekend wraparound series, and they win Game 4 tonight by a final score of 7-2. This is the 10th inning show brought to you by Warner Hoffman, Greg and Garcia, your trusted workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers. And Rod Allen rejoins me now. And Rod, I wouldn't say anything spilled over tonight. There was obviously the Sanchez incident that Skip will address here post-game, but just a tough way to lose another game. One costly error, very, very little offense, and this team's just really struggling right now.
Well, Jake Irvin, the starter for the Nationals today, I mean, this guy can pitch. I mean, he pitched a couple of games against the Dodgers, so you knew it was not going to be an easy assignment. I was kind of proud of the boys midway during the course of this game. They were trailing by 3, big home run to get the score to 3-2. Fauché came in the ball game at that particular time, and it just didn't go well for him for one of the few times this year. So it doesn't really matter what Skip does. Things aren't just working out the way that they should work for him based on what guys had done prior. Fauché had been tremendous all year. Then he comes in, and he gives up 3 or 4 runs today, albeit Nardi gave those runs up. They will go on his record. But as you mentioned, too much soft contact, just outplayed in every facet of the game here in the last 4 days. And they got to come back tomorrow ready to play against another Colorado Rockies team that's kind of struggling too.
It'll be the Rockies and the Marlins at 6:40 tomorrow night. Rod, I love working with you, and we'll be in touch soon, my man.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
All righty. That's Rod Allen. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Highlights from this ball game tonight. Jake Irvin went opposite of Trevor Rogers. And it was the Nationals who would strike first in the third inning tonight. There was a one-out double by Alex Call. It was a hustle double that we believe actually got Jesus Sanchez benched for the remainder of this game. The ball kind of got lost in the light. Sanchez got knocked on his heels, seemed frustrated that he couldn't catch the ball, then stopped paying attention, and it allowed Call to stretch a single into a double. And then two batters later, C.J. Abrams would give the Nationals the lead. He's going to open it nicely and politely and kick out Henderson. Here's a swing and a high drive. Hit deep, right field, and gone. He might have just leapfrogged him. It's 2-0 Washington here in the third. And that is Nationals would carry that 2-0 lead into the fifth inning tonight. And they would get the cheapest run of them all. It was a bases-loaded walk to Jesse Winker. Count is full. There go the runners. The pitch is a sinker that missed inside ball 4. And it's 3-0 Washington as Rogers walks in a run. So Jake Irvin went 6 innings in this ball game tonight. Trevor Rogers went 5. He allowed 3 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Marlins needed to utilize 5 relievers in this ball game. Jake Irvin was rolling until he ran into Jazz Chisholm Jr. in a 3-0 Nationals lead with 2 outs and a man on in the 6th. Here's the 1-1. Chisholm swings, hits it in the air, deep right center field. He's not happy. Did he get enough? Young's at the wall. This is gone. I don't know if Jazz knew it was gone or if he didn't think he got enough. That's a 2-run bomb for Jazz Chisholm Jr. Yeah, he didn't look great in his first 2 at-bats, but he tees off on Jake Irvin here in the 6th.
Well, Jake Irvin continued to go.
So it was 3-2. Calvin Fauché took over in the 7th. There was an E3 by Josh Bell that really opened the floodgates in the 7th inning. An E3 was followed by a fielder's choice, which was followed by a walk, then a hit by pitch. And then in for the Marlins was Andrew Nardi. He inherited a bases-loaded one-out situation. The first man that he faced was Jesse Winker.
Winker already with a grand slam in the series.
Winker swings. He dribbles one towards second base. Arise has it, flips it to second. They get it out there. Winker is safe at first. That looked a little unconventional. There was a little bit of a tie-up between Arise and the runner, Senzel, who does have a right to the base path, but the Marlins only get one on the play, and now Skip wants to come out and have a conversation with the second base umpire, Clint Bond. So the Nationals would get one more, and they'd get plenty more. The next man to bat was Joey Meneses, and before he collected an RBI double, the second run of the inning scored on a wild pitch. There's a ball in the dirt coming towards the plate. Abrams, he scores! Oh, my goodness, he just scored on a slider in the dirt that popped about 5 feet away from Nick Fortes. It's like... And then with Meneses at the plate, he would, on a double, play the third run of the inning. 2-2 is hammered deep left center field. Chisholm on the run looking up, and this one hops the track over the wall. That is an automatic double for Joey Meneses, an RBI double. That plates Winker from third, and now it's 6-2 Washington, and all three inherited runners. And then Ildemar Vargas would collect an RBI single. The Nationals got four runs on two hits, an error, one man left on in the seventh inning. Rogers went five, Maldonado one, shutout. Fauché allowed three runs, but nothing earned there in the seventh. Again, the error proved to be very, very costly. And let's see here. Emmanuel Ramirez tossed an inning and a third of perfect baseball, making his second major league appearance, and Tanner Scott worked an easy ninth inning. Unfortunately for the Marlins, they would get nothing after the sixth inning, the two-run homer by Jazz Chisholm Jr. here tonight. So for the Nationals, seven runs, seven hits, no errors, and five men left on base. And for the Marlins, two runs, four hits, an error, two men left on base. Irvin the winner, Rogers the loser. Total time of game, 2 hours and 21 minutes. 79 degrees and breezy. The roof and the windows open here at Lone Depot Park tonight. It really was a beautiful, beautiful night for baseball. For the Marlins on the mound this evening, they only struck out three, and that means that $75 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer for every strikeout this season. $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative.
Okay, Kyle, thank you. Let's head down and listen to what Skip Schumacher had to say, get his reaction after the 7-2 loss to the Nationals.
A lot happened tonight, but let's start with Sanchez. Why was he pulled in the third?
I have literally no rules except for giving me everything you have. He lost the ball in the lights. I've lost the ball in the lights many times. After that, I felt like the effort wasn't there, and so I decided to remove him from the game. Listen, Sanchez plays hard. He's a good kid. He wants to play every day. There's teaching moments, and he hurt himself. He hurt the team by me having to remove him from the game. I know he feels bad about it now, but there's just no excuse for not giving me or his teammates 100% every time he's out there. It's the major leagues. You are blessed to play this game. I mean, so blessed to be out there. There's 20,000 or so that's ever done this before. So you give everything you got until you're removed from the game, and then or we'll find someone else that can do that. I think I will say that every guy gives us everything they have. I mean, besides what the record is, everyone is like working. I mean, they are working, but I expect, and our staff expects, and the clubhouse expects, 100% effort when you're out there.
Nardi has been so good last year, mm-hmm. So good with inherited runners. What do you see from his struggles this season?
Yeah, that's a tough one because he has all this stuff. Like, you look at the underlying numbers, all of that stuff match up to where he is. You feel like he's going to snap out of this thing, and so that's why we were giving him the shot in those leverage spots still with guys on base. And you know, we have, you know, Scott as our closer, you know, lefty leverage guy is Nardi. I mean, that's, you know, you match up against the lefties, and he's been really good against righties as well. But, you know, so far it hasn't been great this month. Relievers have bad months, and they have sometimes five good months. So we're going to have to figure it out. Just like a couple other guys, we're going to have to figure out if we want to get to be back in our winning ways, we need him to be better.
Overall, what did you think of Rogers today?
I thought he was good. I think, you know, he'll tell you probably that a couple walks hurt him. I put one of the guys on, obviously, in Senzel to get to Winker. But other than that, I thought there was some soft contact. Thought he pitched, you know, well overall. I think the fifth inning just caught up to him a little bit. And I think, you know, one mistake maybe to Abrams, but that's about it. I mean, I felt like he pitched the ball, you know, really well. It's just the fifth inning, I think it was probably 30 pitches, just kind of get long and just couldn't really recover. And that's why we had to go get him. Or that was why he only went five.
Going back to Sanchez, a couple days ago you mentioned in general like the mental lapses. So what's the line? Do you see some of those mental lapses are also as a result of maybe – the lack of effort and whatnot, or do you think those are completely?
No, yeah, I think they're separate. I think, you know, when you're, you know, base running errors and that type of stuff is, you know, sometimes you're over aggressive. I mean, that's not lack of effort. Just sometimes, you know, the just not good baseball move or good baseball play. And the people who have played the game before have run into outs, and like as soon as you do it, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Those things are going to happen. What's not going to happen, at least while I'm here, is 50% or 60%. And then, you know, compounding it with now a short hop to TA, and now I have to remove TA from the game, which that should never have happened. So once the ball's caught, it's you get it in as fast as you can. That's you always expect a guy to take the next base, so you never get caught like that. And so it's a teaching moment.
Is it one of those things when he was coming back to the dugout, he kind of had a sense of maybe that would...
I'm guessing he knew. You know, he obviously was upset, and so yeah.
With TA, how is he doing after the plan?
I'm sorry.
With TA, how is he doing after the plan?
It's day to day. He's a left thumb sprain. I just got off the field, and so you know, so when guys you know come off the field and they get hurt or whatever, I don't see them right away. So I'm gonna have to see him. I know the X-rays were negative, but you know, I'll have to talk to him and see how he feels. Tomorrow's gonna be you'll find out how sore it is tomorrow, I think, more than tonight.
With the Sanchez decision, it was kind of maybe the moment that it needed something like that to happen, but like to send a message to the club, maybe to kind of...
No, they know who I am. I mean, the club knows who I am. You know, we had, you know, some guys that we've, you know, talked to that, you know, are frustrated and, you know, and then that, I get it, like in a bat where you just miss a pitch and you're frustrated and, you know, sometimes you don't run 100% down the line. Well, you know, we tell you, like, once you do that, you got to run. And next time you're out of the game. We've had those conversations before. And guys have been great. Like, they understand I messed up, you know, and then you move on. You're grown men and you're big leaguers. But when it's, you know, becomes, you don't want it to become a thing. You don't want that to be your identity. And I think, you know, people that have been around me know me that I don't, that's just not who I am. And that's not how I was raised, right? Like, I give you everything. I expect you to give us everything. So it's not for the staff. It's more like your teammates. You know, and give your teammates everything you have. And, you know, he's going to, you know, that's probably the what upsets him most when he looks at the video of like, yeah, I messed up.
Coach, with this season, Liam Willicker, Miami Herald, it's been one that you battle a lot of injuries and now losers of seven straight. What's the message to the clubhouse to kind of get over this hurdle and back on track?
Well, there's only one way, is to move forward. You know, I said that, you know, I feel like a broken record. Unfortunately, that's where we're at, is there's only one way out, and it's work. And if you're around us, you know we work. But something has to change. I'm aware that this is not what we should be doing. And whether it's early BP, different type of BP, more work, less work, you know, I'm not really sure. All I know is to work. So I'm not going to fall on the less work and that type of thing. I feel like, you know, we have to individualize some stuff and, you know, build some confidence back into these guys, because they're defeated right now. You know, I get it. But it's up to the staff to keep the positive energy going of it's a long season. We got 5 months left still. And there's still so much baseball left that, you know, you can feel sorry for yourself for another hour or so, but like, come ready to play tomorrow and expect to win tomorrow. And that's never going to change. If we're seven games, a losing streak of seven or a winning streak of seven, you know, that won't change. The process of like expecting to win when you come in that clubhouse and getting better, that process won't change for us.
Probable for tomorrow?
Sixto.
Trevor Rogers went five frames, gave up four hits, three runs, three punch outs, two walks. Let's hear what Rogers had to say and get his thoughts after his outing.
You know, I think my execution was pretty good today. Three walks, not exactly what you want. I thought there were some smart walks, not giving in to Abrams there the last couple of innings and go after Winker. I think the only thing, just can't go deep in ball games. It's really pissing me off right now. Just not happy with it. I like my process, I like what I'm doing, I like my execution. If I just clean up, you know, long ABs, a couple long innings there, might change. But everything else, I'm really liking where I'm at.
The silver lining of that fifth being limiting the damage.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you need to do on top of limiting maybe those long at-bats to make it into the sixth? Is there anything else?
It's easier said than done, but get contact earlier. I think if I try and go fishing for strikeouts, the pitch count goes way up. So I think it's just that competitiveness in me, you know, those high tense innings, you wanna get a strikeout there. But, you know, just got to keep reiterating to myself to be a pitcher and execute a pitch and get a ground ball early in the AB. I think I've been kind of average at first pitch strikes in the middle of ball games. I think it kind of dips down. I haven't looked it up, but I think it's just me guessing. And you know, if I'm finding an uphill battle those fourth, fifth, sixth innings, you know, that's pitch count's going to go up from that as well.
How challenging is it, team like that, just how aggressive they are in the base paths?
It's really tough. You know, they have, I think they're second in the league in stolen bases. So, you know, it kind of takes your whole thought process away from the hitter a little bit, you know, when Call or Young or Abrams gets on the base. And, I mean, Young's pretty much like Acuna. You know, he's going to go. You just got to do your best at varying your looks and hopefully give Nick a chance to get a ball off. And we were pretty close tonight, but just didn't get the job done. But, yeah, it's tricky. You just got to vary your looks and hopefully you give Nick a chance.
Jesus Sanchez was removed earlier in the ball game due to an effort play. Skip Schumacher pulled him. Let's hear what Sanchez had to say, translated by Luis Durante.
Jesus, can you take us through that play in the third?
Sí, sí, no puede guiar un poquito lo que fue esa jugada en el tercer inning.
No, cometí un error y los errores, uno aprende los errores. O sea, no, uno no puede poner excusa. Eso es todo lo que yo puedo decir.
Nothing. I made a mistake. And something that you have to learn from your mistakes. I cannot give you guys an excuse or anything. It was a mistake.
What did you learn from that mistake?
¿Qué aprendiste de ese error?
Conchar, verdaderamente yo sé que es que confía en mí y él siempre le gusta que uno dé los 100%. Entonces ahí falsía y de eso yo aprendo. O sea, ya yo sé que mañana dar lo mejor de mí el 100%.
Yeah, I know that Skip trusts me a lot, and one thing he likes from all of us is to give up 100%. You know, every time we're out there. So I made a mistake. I learned from it, and you know, gotta give all I got tomorrow.
At what point did you realize you had made a mistake?
¿Qué momento específico tú te diste cuenta que cometiste un error?
Concha, verdaderamente yo duré mucho tiempo con la pelota. O sea, no cabe duda de eso.
Yeah, I was just holding that ball for so long. There's no doubt about it.
What did he tell you, I guess, in the dugout, or did you kind of already have an idea that he would maybe bench you?
Sí, no sé si hablaron eso en el dugout. ¿Tuviste una idea de que a lo mejor él te banqueó por eso, o cómo fue esa conversación?
O sea, yo no me puse ni cara, ni me puse molesto. Simplemente yo me saqué del juego y yo mismo tomé mi decisión. O sea, es una cuestión de él, sino de eso de mi parte.
Yeah, I didn't get upset. I didn't put like an upset face in the clubhouse and dugout. I took myself out of the game. That's something I have to understand, and he made that decision.
We saw the broadcast showing you were sitting kind of alone for a bit, kind of contemplative. How did this incident make you feel?
Sí, te vimos un poquito solo en el dugout sentado, triste de una manera. ¿Cómo te hizo sentir esta situación?
Bueno, verdaderamente yo entiendo que le falté el respeto a mi compañero, ya que mi compañero confía mucho en mí, y me saqué del juego. O sea, no fue un chiste, sino me sentí mal, pues, conchale, verdaderamente yo entendía que yo era sumamente especial e importante para ese juego.
It was just the matter of I disrespected all my teammates, and that's one of the things that I was not feeling well, because just a terrible feeling, and I know that I'm an important piece of the team that I could help, and I took myself out of the game.
All right, the beauty of baseball is we're right back at it. It's so early in the season, it's easy, obviously, to get down. My morale's still high. I cannot wait to get to the ballpark. 6:40 first pitch. It's the first of three with the Colorado Rockies. Sixto Sanchez will make his first start at Lone Depot Park in his very young career. It's going to be sort of like an open with maybe three or four innings. Hopefully Sixto can give this team a chance on Tuesday night. As always, 6:40 first pitch, 6:10 Marlins on deck. This is the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.